Lord, I pray that your Spirit will indeed reveal you to us. Holy Spirit, show us Christ this morning. It is He whom we need. Amen. You will find me greatly challenged this morning because my wife, I've heard her say in the past, if you want to shut Lyle up, tie his hands, put him in a chair. Well, you don't say it quite that way. She said, if you don't want him to talk, put him in a chair and tie his hands and feet. Yeah, I walk around. I tend to move around. If you're visitors, you don't know that. Well, today I am truly challenged because we have, if you came in later, and I know a lot of you did, we have two microphones working. I praise God that we have these two microphones because a storm knocked out the whole system. Thanks to Rob Willis here at the Divinity School, we have two microphones. So the good thing about me being challenged here is you'll get a briefer message this morning. Well, my sermon title is One Thing is Necessary, and the title is taken from the 42nd verse of the Gospel according to St. Luke the Evangelist, where Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you're concerned about many things, but one thing is necessary. I want to begin by trying to get you to understand the profound significance of what Jesus is talking about when he says one thing is necessary. This morning, I have the privilege of baptizing little Marlo. And I think one of the most precious things that any of us can see is an infant in mom or dad's arms. And Holland is a precious little one, but she's no longer just in your arms. She's growing up and getting around. There's nothing any more beautiful, I think, as a Christian and as a pastor, than to see an infant brought up by the parents, surrounded by godparents or people that are there to support the family, and see that little one knowing that the Lord's going to reach out and touch that one and put the mark of the Spirit on that baby. Put the mark of the Spirit on the baby, and that's what will happen this morning. The mark of the Holy Spirit, like the mark of circumcision, to show that the Jewish boys were part of the covenanted people. Marlo will have the mark of the Spirit on her. She, as Calvin phrased it, will be grafted into the church this morning. Does that mean she's saved once and forever? No, but what it does mean is that she's part of the covenanted community. She has a great privilege, and she has an opportunity to grow up in Christ with your help and my help and her family's help. And then she will, when she reaches an age of accountability, choose this day whom she will serve. And we hope that she will resoundingly say, for me in my life, I'm going to serve the Lord. But it's a beautiful thing to see the beginning of this morning, Marlo's walk with the Savior. What would be sad is that by the time she reached an age of accountability at 12, 13, or 14, that she still had to be carried by her parents. That would not be a precious sight at her confirmation to have her parents carry her in. If they had to, it would be a sign that something was wrong physically. She hadn't grown and matured and been strengthened. Something was missing physically if that would happen. Well, there are young people that come for confirmation when they reach an age of accountability that are still infants in their souls. And one of the reasons they're still infancy is that their parents and their godparents and the church around them did not understand one thing is necessary. One thing is necessary. Many other things are desirable and good, but one thing is necessary. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Well, if you look at the text in front of you from Luke's Gospel, when Jesus says one thing is necessary, he is telling us, he was telling Mary and Martha. He was telling Martha in particular, but everybody else was listening in, and you and I still get to listen in today. He was saying that if you're going to grow up into maturity in me, if you're going to get to know me and be transformed by me, you've got to get at my feet and feed on me and listen to me. One thing is necessary. Jesus put it very succinctly in John's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 3. He said, eternal life is to know the Father and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. One thing is necessary. It's Christ. It is Christ. As I look at the scriptures and I look at how many people went out of their way to meet Christ and get near him, a hemorrhaging woman that worked her way through the crowd so she could just touch the hem of his garment. A short chap named Zacchaeus who climbed a tree because he wanted to see Jesus. People going out of their way to get near Jesus. How many of us go out of our way to meet him daily and be refreshed by him? How many of us will truly help Marlo know that one thing above all is necessary? It's to know Jesus and have a life with him. And this morning, as we do the baptism, I will be challenging the family to push in this direction, and I'm going to ask you and the church family to join us. And I'll ask you to make a vow, a pledge in front of the Lord, to say that you'll do all you can. And this church, those of you that know us, we're a child-friendly church. We want the little ones here. And we want to pour into them and invest in them because they are extremely important. In fact, what goes on over there across the hall is every bit as important as what's going on in here. And we want going on over there what's going on over here, which is feeding on the Lord, because one thing is necessary. You say, well, Lyle, I need to eat. I need to grow physically. Yes, you do. But I'm going to be on this earth a limited number of years. But my soul is living forever. Do I know Jesus? Because eternal life is to know him and Jesus Christ, to know the Father and Jesus whom he has sent. Well, turn to the text with me. And it's a very brief text, but an extremely important one. Jesus is on his way down the roads, and he has his disciples with him, and he enters a village, and it says here that a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Martha owned a house. She had a gift of hospitality, and she welcomes Jesus and the disciples to come in. After they come in, it says here in verse 39, she had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. When they came in, you see, what happened is that Martha welcomed everybody into her house, and Jesus sat down and began to teach or share things that had been going on, to talk about his Father. Martha ran off to prepare food, evidently. She had a lot of things on her mind. She wanted to be hospitable, but she didn't take time to sit with Jesus. You say, well, we need to eat. If somebody has a house and people come, you've got to serve people. You've got to be, yes, you do. But there are priorities. And what Martha was doing and preparing was good, but it wasn't the best thing. And we don't always want to hear this, but I think today, I pray that we can, Lord, help us to really hear this text and what you're trying to say to us about your Spirit and learning of you. Amen. It says, Martha was distracted with much serving. I like the way John Wesley puts this text. John Wesley, you may know, took the Greek Testament, and he translated it himself into English. He wanted his own translation. And I like the way he talks about this here. Wesley put it this way. He said, Martha was pulled in two directions. Pulled apart in two directions. She wants to be with Jesus at his feet, but she also wants to be out there preparing the food and getting everything squared away so that she can put out a nice sideboard. You ever been pulled in two directions? I have. In fact, I'm pulled that way all the time. The problem with being pulled in two directions and not being able to be sure which way you don't even have time to sort out what is the best. How do you discern the good from the best? How do you sort this out? I like the way Wesley said it. She's pulled in two directions. She feels like she's getting torn apart. And consequently, when you and I get pulled in two directions, I don't know about you, you're probably more sanctified than I am, I lose it. I explode. And that's exactly what Martha did. She's being pulled. She wants to sit at Jesus' feet. At the same time, she wants to get the food on. She's going and she's thinking, Mary, how come you're not helping me? There you are sitting at Jesus' feet. And Martha explodes. And she's not only hacked off at her sister, she's hacked off at Jesus. Have you ever exploded where you're not only hacked off at your spouse or your friend or the guy driving in the lane in front of you that crosses over in front of you, and then you get angry with God on top of it? God, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be late for this appointment. We had it happen just the other morning. I went down into the basement and the freezer door was open. There was food dripping out, blood from meat dripping out all over the floor. God, if you weren't giving us all this out-of-town company, we wouldn't have this freezer overfilled. I exploded, if you will. Yelled upstairs, Mary, we got us a problem down here. I was hacked at God, I was hacked at Mary. Jesus is echoing to me, and he spoke to me this week about it. One thing, Lyle, is necessary. You get your priorities right. You get right with me first, and the other stuff you'll be able to cope with a little more effectively. You see this Wesley's translation, Martha, Martha, you are pulled in two directions. When we're pulled in two directions, there are two effects. One of them is overwork, burning the candle at both ends, and the other is usually overreacting. Overwork and overreacting. Maybe you don't explode. I've got a good friend up in Chicago, and he came to see me one night, and he said, I got to confess what I did the other night. He said, we had a whole table full of relatives around the table, and I'd been busy trying to get this done and get that done. And he said, then somebody said something that criticized me. And he said, I just jumped up and said, to heck with all of you. And he said, I knocked over my glass of wine when I did it and just walked out. I said, why'd you come and tell me that? He said, I need prayer. I said, yeah, you need prayer, but like me, you need Jesus. You see, what Martha was doing was important. And to serve Jesus, to serve people, Jesus has told us to serve others. These things are important. But the place we got to start is with him. At his feet, learning of him and being filled afresh. This morning in the Sunday school class, we were talking about the Holy Spirit and how the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, Chapter 5, verse 18, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke 11, ask, seek, and knock for the Holy Spirit. Because we need the Lord. One thing is necessary. It's more of Jesus. You see, Marlo will come forward today and be baptized, and she will gradually, because she's got a good family, they'll take care of her, and she'll grow intellectually. She'll grow physically by the grace of God. But she'll grow spiritually if her parents decide to make that a priority. She'll grow spiritually if this church doesn't lose true north on its compass and forget that our call is to make sure that every child in there is fed on Jesus every week. One thing is necessary. Many things are good. I grieve. I have friends. I have relatives who have children. And it's good that these children play sports and they're on teams. But now, with the crush of the secular culture, some of the big games are on Sunday. And the parents agonize. Well, do we take them to church and show them the Sabbath is important, or do we let them do what all the kids want to do and be on the team? I wouldn't want them to grow up and hate the church. Not a simple thing. Torn in two directions. If eternal life is to know the Father and Jesus Christ whom He has sent, and it is, then one thing is necessary, and that's for us to continue to know Him, to learn of Him, and love Him. You see, Marlow has an opportunity to grow into Christ's likeness. She has an opportunity to become increasingly like Jesus. The one thing produces this kind of fruit. Listen to these words. You heard them already in the epistle to the Colossians. In the 27th verse, Paul wrote, "The riches of the glory of this mystery," he's talking about the mystery of Christ, the miracle, the mystery is Christ in you. And he says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then he goes on to say, Him, Jesus Christ, we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Our calling is to help Marlo grow up so we can present her mature in Christ, not an infant in Christ, but a mature soul in Christ. This is our calling. It's not just about us. We're to walk together and help one another come to know Him better and love Him more. I close this morning with an illustration from the late Evelyn Underhill. Evelyn Underhill was an English woman who was a founder of the modern retreat movement for the Anglican Church. She wrote, among other things, a little volume called Concerning the Inner Life. This little book was a series of addresses that she presented to Anglican clergy and lay leaders in the 1930s in England. And in this address, she said this, and I need to hear it. You divinity students need to hear it. You parents need, in fact, all of us need to hear it. She said, you, many of you people here today are burned out. She might have said, you're pulled in two directions. You're burned out. You're so busy you can hardly get it all done. In fact, you didn't even want to come on the retreat. You're so busy. You are so busy serving God that you've got no time to be with Him and sit at His feet and learn from Him. She might have been saying, you're Martha, you're so busy serving Him, you haven't got any time to be at His feet and listen and drink in His presence. She said, you got to order things. She said, you start off with service in your life and then you hope there's a little time for adoration and awe. She said, you got to get it right. You begin your day and begin your life, get their priorities right. Adoration, praise. It's adoration, then awe of who you're praising. And from that relationship that's growing, your service will flow. Through your adoration, through your praise, through your sitting at His feet, the one thing that's necessary, you'll begin to be able to sort out with the help of the Holy Spirit, what should the priorities be? What is the most important thing next to worshiping Him? I'm going to ask you this morning in just a few minutes to join me in pledging to help Marlo know this, because this is what we're called to do as a church family. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for lovingly saying, "Oh, Martha, Martha." Not yelling at her, not hammering on her, but saying, "Martha, Martha, this one thing is necessary." Jesus, help us hear you. Speak it to us, I pray, in your name and for your glory. Amen.